You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, January 21st. And happy MLK Day to you guys and WTF for Pistons fans after Saturday night. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News. A Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like y'all, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. We are putting this show out on Sunday late afternoon, just so that there's a little bit of shelf life before the 2 p.m. start on Martin Luther King Day against the Wizards, which we will talk about a little bit later on. Today we're going to be talking about the Pistons splitting games over the weekend at home, although it certainly feels worse than that. We're going to go ahead and break down Double Dribble Gate from Buddy Hield's shot to beat the Pistons on Saturday night for the Sacramento Kings. We're also going to look ahead to today's game, or if you listen to this Sunday night, tomorrow's game against the Washington Wizards and a matinee in our nation's capital. And it should be an interesting one with that low-energy vibe sometimes you get from those afternoon games. We'll see which team perseveres through that. And an interesting matchup based on not just the injuries for Washington, but also something from a Vince Ellis article that I read on the mailbag today that we'll talk about when we talk about the Wizards. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. And also give us a rating and review on iTunes if you could. We really appreciate that. But hey, like I said, putting up the show early a little bit today, so maybe you're hearing this on Sunday night, but the Pistons split a pair of home games over the weekend and are now 20 and 25. As I said on Friday, my official prediction, not that that matters, but to you guys maybe it does, my official prediction as to whether this team for now will make the playoffs hinges on these three weekend games, including today or Monday's game against Washington. If the Pistons were to go 2-1 in those games, my official prediction would be that they would make the playoffs. If they go 1-2, I would say no, they won't. So I also said that the game to lose, if you were going to lose one, was the Sacramento game, because that's a Western Conference foe, obviously. So not only would you get the wins over Miami and Washington, but you're hurting a couple of teams real close to you in the Eastern Conference playoff race. So, you know, maybe they heard that and said, we'll take the Saturday night game off. Matt said it's okay to lose to Sacramento. So we will see how that all transpires today. But while we're at it now, the Pistons in ninth place in the Eastern Conference, two games out of the East playoffs, the eighth spot there, just one game ahead of 10th place Washington, Monday's opponent, and a full three games behind Brooklyn for sixth place. We talk about that group of six teams that basically the Pistons are with Charlotte and Brooklyn and Miami, and then you got Detroit, Orlando, and Washington as teams trying to make the playoffs. Certainly not tank teams like the rest of the five teams in the Eastern Conference. No real good teams in this group, don't get me wrong, but three of those teams are going to end up in the playoffs somehow, some way, for the Eastern Conference. And will the Pistons be among those teams? The season is fading right now, but first we're going to talk about the good news from Friday night. Blake Griffin, 32 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists, as the Pistons topped the Miami Heat at Little Caesars Arena, 98-83, the second of four games between these two teams, and the second of two games at Little Caesars Arena. So the next two will be in South Beach, tough places for the Pistons to win historically, as we know. 22 points for Luke Kennard off the bench, 19 points for Reggie Bullock. A big putback at the end of the game by Zaza Pachulia, who was, I'd say, excellent. He was very good in place of Andre Drummond, who suffered a concussion early, a nose injury. Well, he's in concussion protocol. Early on in the game, as he took an elbow from James Johnson, Dre went scoreless in the 7 minutes that he did play. Zaza's only basket of the game, so the only hoop from the center position for the Pistons, although Blake did play a little bit of center. He had 9 rebounds, though. So the Pistons were out-rebounded 45-42 by Miami without Andre Drummond for most of that game. And then they actually did out-rebound Sacramento 46-39 on Saturday night without Dre, even though Sacramento out-rebounded Detroit last week when Dre did play in that game. Obviously, these are one-game sample sizes, so you can't make too much of them. But Zaza had 12 rebounds on Saturday, including 6 of them on the offensive end. Another small sample size, but Zaza doing the job that he's asked to do without Drummond in there. No doubt that Andre Drummond would be missed for his rebounding if it turned into a longer period of time, or if he's traded someday or something like that. But I think it's a little bit overblown, Andre Drummond's importance in terms of rebounding, by the pro-Andre Drummond corner of Twitter and the internet, which is growing in their veracity lately given the disrespect that he's getting as it kind of piles on, a snowball rolling downhill in terms of nitwits like me and some of you guys out there who agree with me that Andre Drummond is certainly overpaid, certainly a guy that shouldn't be the second best player on a good team going forward, let's just put it that way. Given that he's doing a lot of the same things that we've seen from him in terms of effort sometimes and no development offensively, no awareness of the things that he does well and things he doesn't do well. But obviously a discussion we've had, a discussion we'll continue to have here on the podcast. Something we will not continue to have is Dwayne Wade visiting Detroit. He made his last visit to Little Caesars Arena, barring some sort of Pistons and Heat both making the playoffs and then both pulling an upset and meeting each other in the second round or later in the NBA Eastern Conference playoffs, something we certainly do not expect to happen. But he had 20 points and some big baskets late. Looked pretty good in his final game in Detroit. By the way, the Heat, after losing that game, then went to Chicago and won the second of a back-to-back, splitting their trip to the Midwest against a couple of Central Division opponents. So all in all, not too bad of a weekend for Miami, and all in all, not too good of a weekend for Detroit as they kind of fumbled a victory away on Saturday night. And we're going to talk about that. And speaking of fumbling, we're going to talk about the double dribble gate for Buddy Hield, what the latest on that is, and what I thought about what happened on that final shot on Saturday's game, the win for the Sacramento Kings there. But the Lockdown Podcast Network, we're doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, follow Lockdown NBA Net, and you get all the Lockdown Podcast Network local hosts covering their NBA team on one feed. Great during games, great on game night, great to get the local perspective during big things that are going on Instagram. Also follow Locked On NBA Net, all the stories from all the hosts up in your stories feed and also your regular feed on Instagram. So make sure you follow Locked On NBA Net on both Twitter and Instagram here at the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports podcast network out there on the interwebs.
Yes, sir!
And hey, once again, I forgot to give Mason his due, his moment in the sun here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. The Pistons did get a win on Friday night, so Mason hit him one time.
Detroit basketball!
Later on, we're going to talk about today's all-important Martin Luther King Day showdown with the Washington Wizards, a game where I'm probably overstating the importance a little bit of it. But first off, I will mention this. Vince Ellis of the Free Press had a mailbag that came out on Sunday, I believe, online, and he talked about how the Pistons have some interest in Brad Beal. And of course, there's interest in Brad Beal. Who wouldn't be interested in Brad Beal in a trade? But as we've talked about on this show, I don't think the Pistons are going to have the assets to make that deal happen if Washington wants to trade him, which I kind of doubt at this point because he's playing so well and he's obviously a piece for their future to build on. Then, you know, but maybe they do want to reboot. Maybe Ernie Grunfeld wants to take one last stab at tearing this whole thing down because they're kind of a mess right now, but playing pretty well in the playoff picture. It's an owner that traditionally has wanted to go for the playoffs, and Leonsis as well. So I don't think there's a lot of fire there with the smoke that Vince Ellis points out. That I think he had a source with the Pistons saying that they're keeping tabs on Brad Beal. Another thing I want to point out is I actually taped the third segment before the second segment today, so later on you'll hear me say that I don't know anything about Andre Drummond's availability for Monday. I've been doing the second segment last because I was waiting for this last 2 minutes report to drop, which has still not dropped as I taped this on Sunday afternoon. But since I taped that segment, we have learned that the injury report for 5:30 came out on Sunday, and Andre Drummond is listed as out for today's game against the Washington Wizards with the concussion. Now, that said, I don't know if that's just kind of blanket what they do when someone's in the concussion protocol, and maybe it's possible that he comes out of the concussion protocol before Monday's game and then becomes available. So I don't know really what that means. But like I said, as of 5:30, he's listed on the injury report officially for the NBA as being out because he's in the concussion protocol. So that's what I know about that. And for as far as the concussion protocol, he's going to have to, quote, I saw this from an SB Nation article about the Kevin Love concussion from a couple years ago. He cannot do any type of basketball activity on Friday during the injury or Saturday as well. So that was why he was definitely out for Saturday's game. But he must then pass a series of requirements, including being free of concussion-related symptoms while resting an examination by a physician, completing the league's rigorous return to participation exertion protocol, and then being signed off by by the director of the NBA concussion program. So someone with the Pistons are going to have to explain exactly what they did, the symptoms, and the recovery for Drummond to someone with the league office, the league doctor on the concussion front. So that's what he has ahead before he comes back with the Pistons. But going back to the weekend, wasn't in the cards for Saturday night. One of these days, we're going to do the Mason double, by the way, and play two in a row of Mason Detroit basketballs. But that was not to be the case on Saturday night. Pistons fall 103-101. I had originally forgot to play Friday's Detroit basketball. That's why we just played it there today. But lose to the Kings. The season series was swept by Sacramento. All the S's there. Not an indication that you're a good team. When Sacramento sweeps you, keep that in mind as the trade deadline comes up closer. Luke Kennard had 19 points. His big weekend continued for the Pistons, stepping up with Andre Drummond out. And Blake Griffin had 38 points, which is pretty good still. By the way, Langston Galloway got the DNP for the Pistons there. I don't quite get that. I feel like he's good enough to be playing on this team. I know you got kind of a logjam with wings right now with Kyrie Thomas kind of being thrown into the rotation as well. But that's another argument for trading Reggie Bullock for this season. I'm not saying Langston Galloway is as good as Reggie Bullock or better or anything like that, but it's a position where you actually have some depth. Obviously, with the additions of Kyrie Thomas and Bruce Brown, I think those guys are pretty redundant in retrospect. We kind of knew that, taking two shooting guards in the second round. But it allows you to possibly let go of some wings. Glenn Robinson III, another DNP for him. You know, he'll be gone next year without much doubt unless he shows something. And I believe he should have the chance to show something in the second half of the season. I think he will at one point or another. But I think Reggie Bullock, one way or another, is gone. I know they got the Bird rights, so they can re-sign him, but that number is going to be pretty high as he's an unrestricted free agent. In my mind, you develop Kyrie Thomas, Luke Kennard, Bruce Brown as your wings of the future. You play Langston Galloway next season as you got him on a contract in his last year with the team. Maybe you bring back Glenn Robinson III if he shows something in the second half. I don't think, as of right now, obviously you do not bring him back for your team option next season, but maybe he shows something the rest of the way. And then maybe you find another bigger wing to replace Glenn Robinson III in the offseason using the mid-level or the biannual exception or, draft or free agency otherwise. But Stanley is another question in there, another question for another day. We won't get into Stanley Johnson today. But Reggie Bullock, 2-for-9 from three on Saturday night, 3-for-12 on the game, 8 points. He was part of the bad defense on the last play on Buddy Hield. And before that, a couple of possessions before, he completely lost Buddy Hield for another wide-open three. And NBA GMs around the league, fast-forward through the next few seconds, a minute or so of lockdown Pistons, but he's been low-key, not so good defensively, Reggie Bullock. I know Vince wrote in his mailbag on Sunday that he played well against Tobias the other day, and he is decent on ball. But I think just too many mental mistakes defensively for Reggie Bullock, which is another reason why I'm not crazy about giving him like a $30 million deal over three seasons or doing whatever it would take to bring him back this offseason, especially when I believe you could possibly get a first-round pick for him this trade deadline or a package that's basically the equivalent in value of a first-round pick for him as you can start a flame a little bidding war with some of the contenders around the NBA. Pistons had a 12-point lead midway through the fourth quarter on Saturday, lost it. Another crushing defeat for the fan base, let's be honest. Buddy Hield had 20 points in the first half, went cold for much of the second half, but then went off late as Sacramento climbed back. He finished with 35 points, including the game winner, the first of his career, by the way. But the Pistons, again, huge game from Blake, 38 points, had what would have been the winning bucket late. Pistons had a chance to add to the lead on their own final possession, but Reggie Jackson took a pass from Blake Griffin, declined to shoot the three, went into traffic instead, and pushed by the 24-second clock, which is about to go off, didn't really try to draw a foul on the jumper he threw up. And I mentioned this on Twitter, but where's Mike Abdenauer? Is he still calling out the counting down on the 24-second violations from the bench? I know that's what he did for the Bad Boys days and has done that for 30 years now. And maybe he's not on the – again, now that I mentioned that, I don't recall seeing him at games the last couple weeks. Maybe one of the beat writers knows. But the Pistons have really been struggling with the 24-second clock, making bad decisions with the time winding down, sticking teammates with grenades as the clock winds down, more so than they have over many years. Now, going back to Reggie with the bad decision on offensively, and we've talked ad nauseum about Reggie Jackson. We know the explosiveness is gone. We all know he's got to be the worst starting point guard in the league right now. But and we've talked about that, and we all – the Reggie Jackson defenders, I think they're basically gone at this point. But on Saturday, as I watched that game, I feel like he even crossed into something darker. And I'm only like half kidding. I'm kidding. But there's a little bit of truth to what I'm about to say here. Is Reggie Jackson a gambler? Is he shaving points with this team right now? The game winner for Buddy Hield, odd behavior to say the least from Reggie Jackson. It's like he was trying to cover someone who was like 5 feet away from where Buddy Hield actually was. It's like he imagined someone else trying to make a play that wasn't there. Like he was trying to cover the hologram of Buddy Hield or something like that. Now, the angle that I'm talking about is the regular angle we see during games. It wasn't as bad when you take a step back and you look at it. And obviously, he's trying to avoid getting a foul and given three free throws to Buddy Hield in that situation. But not only was he odd in his behavior, but he also got into the way of Reggie Bullock and Zaza Pachulia, who were there. Neither of them did a good job on the play, obviously. But it was like Reggie was almost trying to screen those guys. It was just strange. Go back and take a look. A bizarre finish to the game for a guy who obviously should not be on the court in that defensive situation. Now, in Dwayne Casey's defense, Reggie's got the long arms, we know, and maybe that's why he was on the court for that one, to distract the inbounds passer with those long arms and maybe try to get into a passing lane. As I talk, I'm pulling up Reggie's stats from Saturday night as I, you know, I'm being a little harsh on him, of course, but 4 points in 29 minutes, 1 for 5 from the field, 1 for 2 from three, 1 for 2 from the free throw line, 3 assists, 4 fouls, a nightmare of a game when you needed a guy like him to step up in that situation with Andre Drummond out with the concussion. And I mean, I know that you probably want Stanley Johnson in there instead of Reggie Jackson, but like I said, the long arms for Reggie Jackson, and Stanley in the same situation blew it against Evan Fournier a couple weeks back with the gaffe against Orlando and the game winner there. But the two Reggies and Zaza there, now the double dribble gate. I saw Wojo Bob Wojnowski tweet about this from the Detroit News, Dan Miller, Fox 2, Brennan Welper, friend of the show from formerly of Piston Power, but no longer with them, Vinny Goodwill of Yahoo, a few others. I didn't see what they were saying at first because I just watched the game on TV, and the regular view, you can't really see this last dribble. But if you watch the replay from behind of Buddy Hield setting up for the game winner, he does step through when he goes around the defense. He didn't really have to split the defense. He kind of went around them. Splitting the defense would imply that Reggie Jackson was anywhere close to where he should have been, to where he would have made Buddy Hield split the defense. But anyway, as he was moving forward from the regular vantage point, it looked like he kind of just pulled it through. But he actually did dribble as he was moving forward. Again, you couldn't see that from regular view. You kind of got to check out the view from behind. Was it a double dribble? So he loses the ball. And as it's a loose ball, he goes to grab at it and does what could be called a dribble or could be called an attempt to grab the ball. And as he's gathering it, touch it, and it goes to the ground. So does he have control? Is it a dribble? I don't know. I'm not sure of the rule of that, to be honest. But he loses the ball, dribbles or slaps at it as he tries to gather it, does gather it with two hands, puts a dribble down to the ground as he's going around the defenders, and puts up the game winner through 1 foot. Not a travel, by the way. Some of you guys on Twitter are talking about how that's a travel. You can leave your pivot foot. Your pivot foot just can't hit the ground before you let go of the ball. It's just like any jump shot. You know, you can leave your pivot foot. It's fine. So definitely not a travel. If it is, but then he picks it up and dribbles again before the shot, then that should be a double dribble. But again, is that gather that he was trying to do, is that considered a dribble? That's the question. I lean towards no. But that's I'm not looking up the rules on that. That's kind of idle speculation for me on a Sunday. And again, as I tape this, no last 2 minutes report still as I tape this on a Sunday afternoon. I don't know when those usually go up, but I think it's a little bit unusual that the NBA has not released that quite yet. Maybe they're taking a deep look at that play or something, or maybe there's some sort of clerical thing that's holding that up. So the double dribble or no, it's your call. Certainly there's other plays in the game that the Pistons messed up. I'm thinking of two times in the first half that Buddy Hield ran down the court before the Pistons got back. Embarrassing displays of, and that's not laziness, that's just, I know that seems like laziness that you got beat down the court, but it's almost, it's a lack of awareness that Buddy Hield is behind your defense. If the Pistons had known he was back there, they would have hustled back. And I know as fans, sometimes when teams are playing poorly, you just want to say it was effort. It's not always just effort, and I think with this team, it's usually not effort. It's not a team that I consider lazy or low energy or something like that, but there is a consistent frame of lack of awareness often with this team. I'm thinking about guys like Reggie Jackson, Andre Drummond. I mentioned Reggie Bullock before as being guilty of this sometimes. Guys that struggle to have defensive awareness in addition to sometimes a lack of defensive ability or foot speed, things like that. Luke Kennard, obviously, Henry Ellenson being Langston Galloway, guys being kind of foot speed issue-wise with their defense, and Galloway with the awareness sometimes as well. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right here, right now on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Our demo is 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company go ahead and sponsor Locked On Pistons. Email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Next, we're going to talk about the MLK showdown with the Washington Wizards. Huge game for the Pistons, and that's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. And hey, did you get a smart speaker over the holidays? Go ahead and tell your Amazon Alexa, Echo, Google Play device, Google Home device, Sonos, whatever. Tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Pistons, and you'll get the latest episode of your favorite podcast. That's right. This is your favorite podcast. We have declared that. So you go ahead and use those devices. Play podcast Locked On Pistons. Get the most recent episode that you have not heard. But today, the Pistons taking on the Washington Wizards, a 2 p.m. start for Martin Luther King Day in the nation's capital. Kind of a special little thing that the Pistons are playing in the capital for the holiday. But the first of a three-game road trip for the Pistons, although pretty obviously this three-game roadie is a lot easier than the upcoming four-game homestand that the Pistons have after that against tougher teams. The roadie has Washington today, New Orleans without Anthony Davis on Wednesday evening, and then Dallas on Friday night. The homestand after that will be Milwaukee, Dallas again, and then the Clippers and Denver. So a lot of real good teams in that four-game homestand and the not-so-good teams in this road trip here. So you're looking at this week, Washington, New Orleans, and Dallas. Probably want to win 2 out of 3, possibly even get 3 out of 3. I'm not that optimistic, obviously, though, with this team these days. But today, the Martin Luther King Day matinee in the nation's capital. No John Wall, out for the season with surgery coming up, or maybe he's already had it. I don't know. No Dwight Howard. He's out with the back injury. Markieff Morris is out. Kelly Oubre and Austin Rivers were traded by the Wizards. It's now down to Bradley Beal and Otto Porter and the Scrubs, which now includes Trevor Ariza after the trade they made to acquire him from the Phoenix Suns. The Wizards are 19-26, just one game behind the Pistons. It's sad to think about and sad to say after the start of the season that they had, the turmoil that they had, the injuries that they've had, all bad things happening in Washington, and one game behind your Detroit Pistons, in case you're wondering about if the Pistons should buy or sell on this season right now. But the Wizards are coming in having won 3 out of their last 4 and 6 of their last 9, which is a nice mark there, as well climbing back into the Eastern Conference playoff race. The Wizards last played Thursday. They were in London and had a few days off after that. They won in London against the Knicks on a goaltending call on New York's Alonzo Trier. Thomas Bryant, the new starting center with Washington, which says all you need to know about where things are at with Washington right now, he had the winning bucket on the call. Meanwhile, the Pistons will be playing their third tip in like 67 hours. Had to travel to the nation's capital on Sunday as I tape this. So, like I said, these guys are Beal and Otto Porter, a couple of former Missouri high school stars that I saw play when they were kids. Beal from Chaminade in St. Louis and Porter from Sykeston, Scott County Central down there, all sorts of Porters All sorts of history with the Porters, playing from the Boot Heel down in southeast Missouri there. Like I said, guys I saw play in high school, I covered them when I was in Springfield, Missouri. So fun to see those guys become pros and become very good pros as well. As I tape this on Sunday afternoon, I do not know anything yet about Andre Drummond or Ish Smith's availability for this one. The Drummond's lack of news in particular has this line off the board. So no betting line, like I said, as I tape this on Sunday afternoon. But it's an interesting game. And like I said, this is one where I'm going to declare the Pistons are going to make the playoffs if they win it and not make the playoffs if they lose it. I don't think this should matter in terms of the plans for the trade deadline. Still think they should trade Bullock. Still think they should look to trade Ish Smith. And you're always looking for an Andre Drummond deal if you can reset that a little bit and see where that goes going forward. Lost hope that the Reggie Jackson deal may come at some point. But anyway, give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Schuch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Schuch. Enjoy the holiday. Enjoy the three-day weekend if you're lucky enough to have one of those. Enjoy the Pistons against the Wizards today. We'll be back, hopefully probably a little bit earlier. We might drop the Tuesday episode on Monday evening as well, given that we have the afternoon tip. And be looking forward to seeing how that goes and hearing from you guys on the platforms and also the Google Voice line, 810-666-1546. Appreciate the feedback and the voicemails that we've gotten on that. So, again, your host, Matt Schuch of Locked On Pistons, saying enjoy the holiday, everyone, and have a good day.